Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I am Jim Galante. With me, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, and the brains behind HVU Insider. How you doing, Mike?
Doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me again this week. Another good week. Graduation week last week. Busy. It's that time of year where you're starting to transition from spring ball to now you're starting to look into who's coming on official visits. People, you know, the kids are going to get out of here. This is I love the college students, obviously, but when they get out of here for those 2 months and stay college, it's awesome.
And it's great during the off season, during the summer, going downtown is a little bit easier. Some of us adults could kind of take over the place a little bit.
Yeah. It's like the adults can kind of go in and enjoy some of the establishments there, especially during Arts Fest. But yeah, just it's been a good week, busy week. Obviously, we have a lot to talk about. We'll just keep pushing forward. Penn State's looking like we got a lot of momentum going into the summer.
I really do. And I'll tell you where speaking of momentum, that's my way to segue to it. We've been doing these events in State College at the Pine Grove Hall, which, as we always mention, it's a great place, just a great venue. But we had, I don't know, it just seemed extra fun this past week. I wanted to talk to you about it a little bit, Mike. We had Chimney Ono, Zay Robinson, Cam Smith. They were fantastic, and I think we actually learned a few things from talking to the players this week.
Yeah, I mean, we always learn something new, and that's what's really cool about these interviews, because it talks a little bit about their journey, and within that conversation always comes up something different. Like Ona, Chim, Big Chim, if you haven't seen the pictures on social media of Chim and you, Jim, please go on there and see the different sizes. It's a good pick. But yeah, the big guy from Baltimore has been playing the piano since he's 8 years old. Just some like little neat things like that. His reasoning for staying, when the transition was happening, was pretty cool. Him talking about it. And then on the flip side, Zay Robinson, who came from Indiana, Iowa. Him talking about the transition is just really neat. And Zay, like a lot of these guys, you guys just don't, like the fans really don't know yet. But Zay's a guy that could have a huge year. He's that kind of guy. He can be really special on the field. And like in pads, he just looks so much longer than you when you first initially see him. But yeah, he's a guy that has a super big personality. Fans are going to love him. And he's also really special on the field. So he was a really good one to have. And then Cam was awesome to have too, especially talking because he's a returner and have talk about, you know, why he's sticking with Penn State through the transition, all of that stuff. Compacted and in an hour and a half was awesome. Yeah, we learned a ton.
It really was. And just, you brought up the picture of myself next to Chim. It was my bad, my mistake when we were talking to Zay previously. Zay had talked about his basketball career, which I always love hearing that guys were basketball players also. There's a certain athleticism that comes with that. And we asked him about sticking with football as opposed to basketball, even though hoop sounded like his first love. He's like, well, when you're a 6 foot point guard and, in the program, he's listed at under 6 foot, like 5'11 is what he's listed at. So I teased him about fibbing about his height. And I carried that a little bit further and fibbed about my height. Well, that little fib cost me, because then when Chimney comes up, all of a sudden you have a 6'5", 320-pound offensive lineman. I fibbed about being 6 foot tall. Those who haven't met me, trust me, I'm not 6 foot tall.
Yeah, but it was interesting. Zay talking about I think it was his grandma that said that she wasn't going to let him play football.
Yes.
He didn't want to play, and then he ended up playing, and it worked out for him. Pretty cool story with Zay.
And the thing with Zay, the talk to him is, I don't think he came off as cocky, but he was confident of what he had to offer. And don't you just feel like he's going to be that exciting kind of player? If the ball gets into his hands, the crowd's going to start to get excited because you know something fun could be happening with him. So kind of like, the way we felt when the ball got into KJ Hamler's hands. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's the same. I'm just saying that I get that same feeling from him.
That's funny you said that. That's who I was going to say, because KJ, as people found out, had a really cool personality, funny personality, not cocky, just great to be around. And that's kind of what Zay's like. And hopefully when Zay gets the ball, he's that kind of guy that you're just like, well, here we go. He can turn a screen into home run type of guy, or make the big 50-50 catch, and just he can be really exciting out there in all phases.
And one last funny note on Zay before I want to talk about something that Cam Smith said with Zay after the interviews and after, you know, the show and everything was wrapping up. I saw Zay chatting to some of the folks who were there attending, which, by the way, is kind of the point of this. It's what makes it really fun getting to do. So I went over, I joined the chat, then one of the other players came up to me like, Zay, we got to go. Everybody else is in the car, man. We got to go. And he just seemed to be just very happy and content to be there talking to folks. So that was nice to see the players interacting with everybody.
You know what I like too? A quick add was,
yeah, go ahead.
When I go on there and I talk to you guys for 5 minutes after that, yeah. I go back and I just sit in the back with Justin, and usually the other two players that aren't on are right in front of me. And I get a kick out of them and their responses to whatever the player on the stage is saying. They like busting their chops. And it's cool. It's just a really good vibe, and it's cool to see the players interact like that and mess with each other. And it enhances the environment and the experience.
It does. And I think that's also the nature. The interviews aren't – nobody takes themselves too seriously. So, you know, there are fun conversations. However, in doing these, we still get some of these nuggets about the team itself. And one thing I was really fascinated about was in asking Cam Smith the difference between now with a completely new defensive staff, has playing linebacker changed at all? And he essentially said, yes, it has, that they would be in more attack mode. And what was interesting, the follow-up question was about, you know, the size of the defensive tackles are so much bigger than they were previously. And his comment was, yeah, I took note of that early on, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on. Then once we hit spring practice, I realized with that size, essentially they're occupying a lot of people, which gives us the opportunity at linebacker to be more in attack mode. And you know, he even put it, it's like, oh, okay, now I get it. I thought that was pretty interesting, Mike.
Yeah, it kind of speaks to the different kind of schemes that we had and what Coach Dillon is installing with the defense now here. You know, in contrast to last year, you look at our defense, it's a lot of movements, D-line movements, a lot of horizontal type of movements. That's why we were able to, you know, like Zane is great, right? But he's not great at the bull rush necessarily. Like, he's great because he's quick, he's strong, but those smaller, shorter guys, those are the quicker guys. So in those schemes where you're stunning a lot and you have a lot of games, that works for them. But they can also get you in trouble too, right? Because some of those superior offensive linemen, if they're big, they can just push you, right? They can just – in fact, like what Indiana did to Alabama last year and a lot of other teams, that was just their mentality. They were much bigger and physical than you. Well, on defense, you got to have some guys that can hold their gap, right? And I think that's what this staff has done, is they've gone out and gotten some size inside. And I think the linebackers, they're gonna be freed up a lot. I remember my first year at West Virginia, I was playing in a 3-3-5, right? I was a nose tackle. And my entire job was to make sure that the center or guard did not get to the linebacker. And, you know, then that – I remember the Coach Castile, just retired, great guy. He always had great linebackers because they never got touched. You know, because it was part of the scheme. So I think that should be exciting, because if that's the case, then you're going to see a Tony and all these other guys out there running around and not having to worry about, you know, a guard coming up them or, you know, to the second level or whatever. But it's going to be interesting to see how these guys play and adjust to the new scheme. And from what Cam's saying, it seems like everybody's adjusting to it really well.
It really does. I want to, just in the final minute or so we have left in this segment, because of these events, I got to meet Justin. He kind of coordinates all of these things. Just a moment. How about telling the listeners who Justin is, what he does? Because he seems like just a great guy.
Yeah. Just like a lot of these guys on the staff that people will get to know. And a lot of these events, I'm sure people are getting to meet. A lot of these front office guys, but Justin Cummings Morum, AKA Famous.
I love that.
Yeah. He's a great dude. Comes from Ohio, Coleraine High School, Cincinnati area, Powerhouse High School there. He kind of does a little bit of everything. He helps with the NIL, like operations. I think his title is a director of recruiting operations, something like that. But he's in charge of making sure that these guys get to where they need to get to. He's kind of like the muscle with these guys. And he's awesome with them, but he's also a really good recruiter too. So now with the rules, these guys can go on the road. So, you know, he helps coordinate, get these guys there, get them out of there. And then, you know, he was just coming off the road. You know, he's on the road recruiting for a couple of days and he helped with that, but he's awesome. But having somebody like that is really big. So you have somebody internally from an NIL standpoint to help these guys. And Justin's awesome with that. Yeah. He's like a coach. And then You have somebody externally to help him with like little things. And that could be me.
Well, that's fantastic. All right, Mike, that's it for quarter number one. We got lots more to go. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform, giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V, empowered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. We are brought to you by HVU Insider. With us, the executive director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, a lot of fun talking about our event last week, which was fantastic. Shout out again to Pine Grove Hall. They do such a great job. The environment's so nice. The stage is set up. We get folks who attend, get to talk to the players, get pictures taken with them.
Service is great, too.
Oh, yeah. Just, and the evening isn't complete when we do these until you and I have a couple beers afterwards.
Yeah, a little recap. Yeah, but like I said, the service there is awesome. You know, everybody really takes care of you. They got a new menu.
Yes.
She said the new chef's Cuban, I think.
Yes.
There's a lot of Cuban type of dishes on there. And I remember some of the guests, they had one of the dishes, and they had to tell Liz, the owner, how good it was. So, yeah, come check it out.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff on the menu, great beers, a lot of fun. You don't need to come out when there's an event with us, but we still want you to come out on those nights, and we'll keep you up to date on when those events happen. Would love to have you out there. Love to have our listeners there. Yeah. Let's shift gears a little bit, Mike. Now during the off season, one of the great things, and this information, it seems to just trickle out. You know, we want to hear everything about the schedule for the fall, and they just come out little by little. A couple news tidbits about the schedule came out. One of them is this Northwestern. They have essentially a brand new stadium, and it's supposed to be really state-of-the-art, really great. Well, they're not opening it for the start of the season. They're opening it when Penn State visits Northwestern, and it's actually going to be a Friday night Fox game. So it's like it's a national game. There'll be a boatload of attention there. It's Friday night. I know that it's on the road, so it's not a Beaver Stadium Friday night game. But I think there's going to be a lot of national attention on it, and that I think that's a lot of fun. I'm thinking a lot of Penn State fans are going to want to make that trip if they can.
Yeah. When they first came out with the Friday night games, I remember there was a lot of pushback because of high school football, stuff like that. Plus, like I'm just like you mentioned, I'm glad it's not at Beaver,
yeah.
Right? To take away one of the great Saturdays that we get. So I think it's great to be honest. Like, yeah, it's going to be a brand new stadium, but it's not going to be like an intimidating 100,000 state. You know what I mean? It's going to be a cool experience. I'm glad it's Northwestern, to be honest, that we're going up against Northwestern on that Friday night. We'll have all eyes on us, which is great. And it's going to be neat. Like all the things that I've seen, that stadium does look pretty neat. It kind of looks like a soccer stadium type, like a yeah. European like soccer stadium. So yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. I thought the one that it really I think is going to piss people off is like the Texas schools. So I saw Texas Tech has a home game on a Friday night. Might be that same weekend, but like you know how. Ohio football, PA football,
Texas
football, Fridays, that's for high school. And like you could, I try to put myself in both sides and you could probably argue both sides on that, you know, especially in those states that where the high school football is a lot.
You really can. And for some schools at the collegiate level, this is a way to bring attention to their program, you know, the MAC conference, you know, MACtion, like they were for quite a while, the Thursday night
game. Jim, I was part of the team that made weeknight games a thing. We were West Virginia, you know, nobody knew any of us, right?
Yeah.
But we had a fun, exciting offense, so why not throw us on a Thursday night, you know, a Friday night and a Wednesday night? Yeah, we were that smaller school.
And I think it's a good thing. And, you know, you mentioned like Texas Tech. And I'm sure the Texas people, especially the high school people, will criticize it. They'll complain about it. I'm not sure it needs to be that big a deal if it's like one time, okay? I know like Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State will never host a you know Friday night game, and they have the gravitas, the power to say no, we're not going to do it, and they don't need Friday night games for attention. Okay, right. 100,000 people come in to see those teams play, but now for Northwestern, this is a great way for them to get some attention, and you know they're going to be primed and pumped for this, their first game in the new stadium. So they might be a little more dangerous, but I think also between that with Northwestern, the story that Northwestern beat Penn State last season, last game of James Franklin's career. So there's the payback story. This is the first, you know, big national appearance for Matt Campbell and his program. I think that's going to, ratings wise, I think it's going to be off the charts, Mike.
Yeah, no, I think it will. I mean, all Penn State games this year are going to get high ratings, I think, with all this momentum going into it, a good momentum. And I say that because it's funny, just like the momentum we had last year was almost like it worked against us, you know? So, yeah. Like, I think what a lot of it's a different type of momentum that we're going in first year, you know, almost like a honeymoon thing. And everybody's going to be excited about all the first instances, the first big call Coach Campbell has to make, right? Or the big first, like, defensive stand. Like, there's going to be so many firsts that everybody's going to be excited about, right? But going back to the Friday night game, like, when I was at Virginia Tech, we had, I think, maybe two games, like, during my time home games, it was a weeknight games. It hurts for recruiting. So usually you get a lot of kids at these games on Saturdays, right? They play Friday nights.
Yeah.
And then they drive in that Saturday morning or that Friday night after the games. When it's a weekday, you don't really have any wiggle room with those guys. Those guys have practice or some kind of obligation. It's just, it doesn't work well with high school schedules during the fall. So that does, you take a hit there, but you try to be creative and you try to still get some top guys there. And then you open it up to maybe a lot of other guys, other schools or the community, youth leagues, stuff like that. When you have a weekday game like that.
You brought up a great point. I hadn't thought about that, but that's true. You know, Friday night, they're most likely a conflict with their own games. If it's Thursday night, hey, you know, it goes late. You have school the next day and a game the next night, you know. So the last thing you want to be is out of town Thursday night when you have a game the next day.
I personally would pick a Thursday over a Friday because Thursday you can get done playing and then you can send all your coaches on the road right after the game. And so you can get a whole Friday's worth of recruitment. And we had that opportunity a couple times when we were at Tech, which was really helpful, especially if you win. Now, the coaches aren't going to be too motivated Friday on the road. I was with Coach Pry a couple of times when I had to take him up and down the road after a loss.
That can't be fun.
No. But these guys are all good and professional. Yeah. You know how to talk.
Well, the other news is apparently, although it wasn't officially announced, apparently it was online that the Wisconsin game, which is in September 26th, that will be the homecoming game. So that's the week prior to the Northwestern game. It's an early homecoming, should be nice weather. The other part to that is that will be where they will probably do the Generation of Greatness uniforms, which you and I were talking before the show. I love those uniforms. I think they're very cool. They still have, you know, because it's taken from prior Penn State teams, it still fits the mold. You still know you're watching Penn State. But what might be interesting this year is the changeover from Nike to Adidas doing the uniforms. It'll be interesting to see if we see anything unique from them, Mike.
Yeah, the generational uniforms, that's going to be interesting how that works out. I always thought it was kind of funny because, like, as a Penn State fan, you see all the detail that goes into those. And it's awesome. They do such a good job that I just don't think, like, the casual fan that really doesn't care about Penn State, they look at it and, like, I don't really see too much, right? Like, because they do such a good job, and like the littlest details in the jerseys and the attire get-up is really cool because will never look like an Oregon. It's still going to look traditional, you know. So it's really cool. Now, that was a Nike thing. Like, do they still do that with Adidas? I'm still going to be, I'll probably still be adjusting to that, the three stripe on that uni, but I'll be over by then.
Here's an interesting little piece of Penn State trivia for you. You know, each piece of that uniform goes back to a certain era, certain game. Yeah. Do you know where the white shoes came from?
I've heard this before and I can't remember it. What is it?
1979 Sugar Bowl against Alabama. They actually lost the game for the national championship. They weren't used to playing on turf, so they wore almost, they may have even been like sneakers, but they were white. And do you know who made those? They weren't Nike. They were actually Adidas.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Back then, there wasn't the, you know, the Nike contract like they have had now. Again, think about how long ago that was. That was over 40 years ago.
Well, but, that's a great way to, like, transition. They got a great backstory to that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. But I tell you what, as much as, you know, it's the black shoes and what is the tradition, how about watching Saquon Barkley in the white shoes returning a kickoff for a touchdown? Just what a great moment, Mike. It really is. So
that was a great team where he made that one-handed catch out of the backfield, and I think he ended up scoring.
It's just he.
It was like a choice route. Versus the linebacker, and he made like a sick one-handed catch. I think he ended up scoring. It was like a 50-yard play.
So many crazy plays, but I love it in the Generation of Greatness uniforms. All right, Mike, that's it for quarter two. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante, along with me, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, a lot of interesting things we talked about so far, but one of the things, you know, I always love to talk about recruiting, okay? And it's this team's on kind of a heater in the last month, I guess, or so now. They went from 0 to 15 commitments. A lot of momentum going on there.
Yeah, same trend as last week when we talked. You know, they continue to build more momentum. Picked up, I think it was two more commitments. The big guy, David from Riverside, Ohio, the lineman. He's that guy that the typical guy that we talk about that you see and you're like, oh, that looks like a really big tight end or a power forward. He's that kind of guy. He's like probably 250 soaking wet right now, but super athletic, huge upside. You know, probably a little bit underrated, like a lot of guys are right now at this time. But I probably after a really good senior season and he's some weight put on, I could see him getting elevated and bumped to another elevated in his rankings. But overall, he's a really good get for Coach Clanton and his staff. Especially when you have to develop linemen, these are the type of guys you want in your developmental process and having them in that room. So, I mean, when you look at that, that's really good. You got David added to the room with Owen Riley, who I'm really big on. He's the interior lineman from Bel Air. He's the wrestler that I absolutely love wrestlers. You got him. You have Ryan Robbins, who I explained last week, who we beat Ohio State and Indiana over, which is huge, in-state kid. And then you also got John Sasek, from Central Catholic. And have you seen their linemen? They have four linemen going. Their front five has like four linemen going, like big power four.
Wow.
But you have him. So really you have a good mixture of interior swing guys and it depends on how they fill out, but a ton of athleticism when it comes to offensive linemen right now. And I know we're in this time that we're like very antsy. And I think it was like a month ago, we were very antsy to get a commitment. Well, now we have 15 commitments, right? And then once you get the commitments going and it wasn't an offensive lineman, everybody starts freaking out. Where are these offensive linemen? What's been doing? And now we're sitting here a couple weeks later, and now Coach Clanton has a great recruiting class. Has 4 offensive linemen that will all end up highly rated in the recruiting industry. So really good thing going on right now. You know, this is the time where I explained last week. These guys are going on the road. You're going to see a ton of 28 offers go out. And it's getting 28 and underclassmen offers out, but it's also solidifying the relationships with these commitments and the top guys. It should be easier to keep these commitments. You'll get commitments, but it happens every year. You're going to get decommitments too. I'm not saying that we will. It's just, it happens. Every team goes through it because every recruitment is different for every kid and family. And it's even more complicated now that money's involved. So, or it's less complicated depending on how you look at it. So the recruiting class is doing it. It's a really good class right now. I think, as I explained last week, if you look at like stars and rankings, I think a lot of these guys will end up being, four-star guys at least, when it's all said and done. But, like this class, the Jameer Dean, the receiver that I loved that we picked up last week from Alcoa, Tennessee, tall receivers, speedy, pretty much does it all, can do it all. Picked up a Georgia offer this week. I know there's a bunch of back and forth on that. Anytime Georgia or some of these blue chip schools, sometimes when they offer, it could be troubling and a concern just because they have just as much money as we do, right? Or sometimes when you look at this, it doesn't even have to be a big school. Say we take our 25th guy, say we take 30 guys, right? And our 30th guy that we took, right, isn't our highest paid guy, all right, contractually, what we agreed to. But then maybe Boston College comes in, and that 30th guy on our recruiting cycle, it might be their second in their recruiting cycle. So they'll go in and offer them more money as if they're their second, right? It's kind of like the draft, right? You're going to pay your first rounders their guaranteed money, that more money that they have, because you're going to be really more invested in them. And then your third, fourth rounds, and as you go down the rounds, the money becomes less guaranteed and you get less money. It's just how it is, right? So you either get a big blue chip that wants that kid so bad that they're going to outpay him, or you're going to get a kind of a mid-tier team that's going to make them their number one player, and they're going to pay that player more than they're typically worth at the power four level.
Well, as an example of that, and I hope I'm not speaking out of school, you and I were having a conversation with your old friend from Ohio who was tuned into the recruiting nature, and he was talking about Ohio State, exactly that point where, hey, Ohio State is spending on all those five-star guys. The next level, you know, they're second-level players according to Ohio State, but to West Virginia or Pitt or, you know, whoever else, that's their best player. So they're coming out with the money, whereas Ohio State is already committing that to the very elite top tier. So I think that's actually, Mike, one of the things that's creating – a lot more parity in college football now.
Yeah, 100%. And that's it's a good thing. But it's just, you have to be strategic and calculated on the guys that you bring in. And then when they commit, you got to make sure that they're committed and you just feel really good about it. But like right now with 15 guys, I think it's reported that we're going to end up taking around 30 high school recruits, which is awesome. And
yes,
people that want to get excited about rankings, That's a really good sign, because volume, even if they're 3 stars, will get you that higher ranking, right? It was something that when I was with Charles Huff at Marshall for that 1 year, Huff's a hell of a recruiter, and for people that remember, Puff, the running back coach and special teams coordinator here, before I left with him in Mississippi State, he just wanted recruits, right? And
yeah,
we got some good kids, but like we signed a ton of kids, and because of that, we had a really high ranking for that level. And so then Coach Huff could say, "Hey, I had the best class."
Yeah. Hey,
if you look back at that class right now, I don't think any of those players at Marshall right now.
Well, that is one of the things in these rankings where Penn State, I think, is now like ranked seventh, you know, a top 10 team. But what veteran, you know, star stairs, you know, studiers look at it and say, gee, out of these 15 players, only four of them are four stars. But also, if you look a little closer at it, there's like five, six, seven of these three-star guys were kind of on the cusp. So as you pointed out, there's going to be, you know, more ratings. There's a very good chance several more guys are going to end up as four-star guys. But this is also the element of this staff is not watching what Rivals and On3 is saying about a player. They're making their own judgment, Mike.
I mean, that's just – they never have, technically, right? Coaches and staff haven't, technically. Now, I think head coaches in their home states will feel a certain way about certain kids to take a kid because of a certain ranking or something that in the past. I think that's you won't see that as much just because of the business nature of it right now and the money involved in every recruit. So – you know, they should always be trusting their evaluation. It's just at the end of the day, I don't think any politics is going to get in the way of it because of now NIL and the money. Right. But yeah, it's kind of fun. Like the ranking stuff is fun because it goes through these phases, right? And like, but the fans haven't really, a lot of fans still like, they fall in the trap of getting nervous at the beginning of these phases. Right, we're going through this important phase right now, and within a month, like you just heard, the tone changed completely with fans and, you know, media. So you just got to go for the ride, and it's a really good thing that we're coming out of the spring with all these commitments right now, and to hear that we're going to be taking somewhere around 30, that is awesome, and that means that if we're going to be taking 30, you know, what does the portal look like? How many do we take? If I had to guess, I bet you we don't take a ton of portal guys, maybe anywhere the range from 5 to 8. If I had to guess right now, depending on, you know, how this roster develops this fall and the summer, there may not be as many holes, or there may be some holes, but I bet you with signing 30, we don't sign a ton of portal guys.
Well, you hit it. It's got to be, how does it work for this specific team? And, you know, this past year, obviously, Matt Campbell, he had a boatload of holes to fill. It was a senior-laden class at Penn State. A lot of players moving on to the NFL. A lot more players just running out of eligibility. And you're going to have that natural attrition of both portal players leaving, many following James Franklin, many of the recruits going with them. So there was no choice. He brought in 20-some Iowa State players. You've got to play the hand that is dealt you. And I haven't looked at it, Mike, but based on all the players that followed Matt Campbell from Iowa State, you get the feeling that most of his players are very loyal to him. And, you know, the mass exodus through the portal isn't going to happen very much to a Matt Campbell team.
No, and look at the players that he brought. It wasn't just heavy seniors and guys are going to be one and dones. There's a lot of the guys that are on our show are a lot of the younger guys.
Yes.
And what's cool is we're seeing them. We're like, oh, the people are going to love this guy. Especially when they start getting on the field, like V and Zay and those guys. There's a huge crop of young, talented players that transferred here from Iowa with Matt. So that's a very positive thing. So you're not going to have these big ups and downs through your roster, which is easy to happen in these times. But The focus is on high school, and that's a positive thing, and everybody should be happy about that.
It really is. All right, we've got one more quarter to go. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. With me is Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Mike, we were talking about recruiting in quarter number three, a little bit generically, also talking a little bit about some of the players that committed. Just want to circle back to David Terawali, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right. You talked about he's an offensive tackle. He seems to be really rising in the recruiting rankings, and the hit on it, you and I have had this discussion about the long, lean guys when they're in high school, and apparently he's one of those guys. He was only 245, working his way up to 260, but he's a guy that, you know, another year in high school football and then hitting the Penn State weight room and nutrition. This is a guy who's probably going to play at 300 pounds, but when he's on the field in high school at 245, he's probably not looked at the same way.
Yeah, I want to say he could look like a Malachi Goodman when it's all said and done, which is like just that's how you want him to look. You know, you want him to look 300. You want him to look like they look like a power forward, but they're carrying 300, but it doesn't look like they're carrying 300 plus.
Right. And
that's what he's going to end up looking like. He's got big lowers. He's skinny now, but when you look at him, you can tell that, you know, he's got those wide ankles. He's got the wide hips. He's very flexible and athletic, and on his tape, you're able to see that he's able to get to the second level under control and make the blocks, stay on blocks. You can tell he's still, like, learning the game, which the offensive line is – it takes long for the kids to develop in that position naturally just because they're physically not big enough yet or to hit their peak, and they're – you know, they don't know that much. It depends on the coaching that they're getting, but it seems like he's got a great skill set. He's very raw, but very athletic, the type of kid that you want, and you want early, especially because these type of guys, like if you look back at Charles Cross, guy that we recruited, same time, probably right around the same time of his senior year, we recruited him, and we said, if he gets on campus, we're going to offer him if he's 6'3 plus. He gets on campus, didn't have any offers. He's 6'3 plus. We offered him, right? But he was in the middle of nowhere, which happens a lot in Mississippi, and was under-recruited. But then everybody saw him. And, you know, he was like David, where he's very lean, but you could tell he's going to be huge, and he's very athletic. Yeah. And he can run like a deer, and that's like how David is. Next thing you know, by the end of that cycle, you know, Charles Cross was a five-star, and you know, he just signed a second contract in the NFL with the Seahawks. But you know, that's the type of guy. That's what you hope. Not everybody ends up being a Charles Cross, but if you kind of go off of that template and those kind of guys that you're looking for, you know, you'll have a good chance. You'll hit on a couple guys once in a while, and if you hit on a tackle like that, that's huge for us. So yeah, Love the take. Probably not like a huge, like, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Like home run to the like fans right now, yeah. But give it some time. I think fans are going to come to love this kid when it's all said and done through his recruitment, because he's a guy that I think you're going to see a big jump from his junior film to his senior film just because it's you see huge jumps at that position in development year to year.
Well, there seems to be, you know, this model of long, fairly lean, as you and I, the poster boy for you and I in all of this is Owen Alessini. Okay. You and I saw him when he was an early entry, and he came in January of what should have been his senior year in high school. I've met him at that first event, and you're there, and he introduced himself as an offensive tackle. And I looked at you and said, what? This guy looks like a basketball player. Well, fast forward, we saw him a couple weeks ago. I saw him then, and he was 300 pounds, and he still looked pretty lean. Like he could add another 20 pounds, and then you're getting yourself to that point of the ideal offensive tackle, maybe 6'5", 320 or so. And hopefully they're still maintaining some of that athleticism.
Yeah, that's the point. You want to get them when they're athletic, right? You don't want the guy, the big overweight guy in high school, and think he's just going to become athletic because he's like a super large human or something. That doesn't happen a lot, right? You want the guys that are really athletic, the tight ends, the Joe Thomases of the world that were a tight end in high school, right? And then they fill out. You see the physical traits, and just like Alessini, you see his lowers. And that's huge when you look at their hips. Like that's what you're focused in when you're looking and trying to project the size and what they're going to be. It's their body, it's their hips, it's their butt, calves, their ankles. That's what you look at. And when you're looking at these guys and like a David, you can tell they're going to be monsters. And each guy's different. You want them to, like you said, you want them to carry as much weight as they can while maintaining that athleticism. And that's the goal. And sometimes that's 280, 290, 300, 330. But if you're somewhere around that 300 range, we'll be in good shape. We'll have a good room.
Well, also, I think the bottom line to it is it's easier to add size and strength than it is to add athleticism.
Right.
So you'd rather start with athleticism and height, which is also something you can't coach.
That's a huge thing, especially tall guys like David, like those guys that can bend, or that's a huge sign of athleticism, just functionality, being able to move. That's huge. And a lot of taller guys struggle. That's why a lot of times offensive line coaches, when they have offensive linemen come visit, they have them do a hip test, right, where they take a broom and they stick and they hold it up above their head. Right. And then they have them do a squat. Right. And what they're looking at is their hips and their ass and seeing how far they can bend. Right. And that gives you, are they going to sit their ass down, their butt down, or are they going to bend at the waist because they don't have the flexibility? It's an easy tell. And that literally will carry a lot of weight in that recruitment moving forward on that visit.
You know, this is why I love talking to you, Mike, that scout in you will come out. It always does. And I appreciate that. Those are things we wouldn't otherwise know about. So that's fun to hear about. I want to bring up one more guy that we didn't really hit on too much last week. He had just committed prior to our show last week, speaking of size, and that's Stanley Montgomery. He's a four-star defensive lineman. And remember, he's still in high school. I see him listed at 6'3", 300 pounds. This seems to be consistent with that desire to get those large defensive linemen.
Yeah, this is an interesting recruitment to me, just because he was originally committed to Syracuse, right? Good find by the staff, good evaluation by the staff, because it was he committed pretty early to Syracuse. And then he visited the first junior day in February or in March this past year. And then he visited again. And then after that first visit, I think everybody felt pretty good about it. Me seeing him initially, he is listed at 6'3", probably like on a really good day, but he's a thick guy right now already. Like he's physically like impressive already.
Mature.
Yeah, you could tell he's a very powerful, strong, twitchy kid coming from Philly in state. The fact that he's coming from Philly is great. Archbishop Ryan, great school. So Really good. Now, he's kind of a quieter kid, talking to him. Great dad, great family. But, you know, off of the defensive line, they got to be off a little bit. So I want my defensive line a little bit off. But I'm not saying Stanley is, but I feel like he has that. He just kind of has no nonsense type of temperament.
All business.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. But yeah, great take for us. What's really cool and neat and kind of fun to follow is like when you follow in that recruitment with the industry, you know, he was just like a low three-star when he was committed. But then, like, within a month, he takes a couple visits, gets a couple offers, then commits to us. Now he's, like, our highest-rated guy. He's ranked 65th nationally in the country, which is crazy, yeah. Right?
Yes.
But that's why the ranking game and all that stuff is kind of fun to follow. But just, like, it's fun, but also it shouldn't be everything. It's, like, kind of what I try to get at it when I talk about these guys, because I still think it's fun to talk about the rankings. But also don't, like, get too swallowed up in it, because at the end of the day, what Derek Hoosier said from day one, we it's all about winning football games, right? And like that's what they're recruiting for, is to win football games. And if it's a three-star, hell, all right, let's ride with that three-star, because the staff must like him for a reason, right? And that's why I'm here for, is to hopefully kind of articulate why we take certain people. But and if it's a four-star, heck, that's great. But taking in stride with the recruiting cycle, because it's a long road to the December right now. And that's what we're aiming for right now, is December, the early signing period. Lock these 15 guys up, plus another potentially other 15. And then we'll be sitting with a really good class in December.
It's interesting to me, Mike. It's fascinating to see these two recruits that we're talking about, Stanley Montgomery and David Terwalli. They both fit that they were underestimated at one point. They were lower three stars. For Montgomery, he was committed to Syracuse and his recruiting blew up. And that's how he's now decommitted and now committed to Penn State. And David also didn't have the size initially that you would be looking for. And he's called one of the fastest rising recruits in the country. That's an example of why you can't get caught up on the star system, because these guys do change.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the beauty of the system, because like if it's good, you love it. If it's bad, you hate it, but you still love it because you talk about it. So it's like a hamster wheel. It's a great system. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, it's fascinating how much he jumped, but. Obviously just a really good one. Defensive line, premium position. Again, another position you don't want to have to fill that room up with portal guys every year. You got to develop out of the high school level, just like the offensive line we were talking about. And the staff's doing it. So that's awesome to get a really highly rated guy like Stanley. But I'm looking to see a couple of the other guys that they got, really hot right now, or some of like, or some of the other guys on the West Coast that we're recruiting really hard right now. But, really good start in the defensive line room.
All right, that's going to be the final word. Thank you, Mike. Always informative. Thank all of you for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform, giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V, empowered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.